We will continue to impose costs until the junta removes its stranglehold on democracy.
Conflicts between protesters and Myanmar's military escalate. It's Monday, March 29th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online. Find us at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, reeling in illegal Chinese fishing, comparing COVID vaccines, flying on another planet. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Defense chiefs from a dozen countries, including the United States, issued a rare joint statement condemning Myanmar's use of lethal force against pro-democracy, unarmed people. The statement said a professional military follows international standards for conduct and is responsible for protecting, not harming, the people it serves. The statement released after the violence in the country on Saturday is backed by defense chiefs from Australia, Britain, Canada, Denmark, Germany, Greece, Italy, Japan, the Netherlands, South Korea, and New Zealand. More than 100 people were killed Saturday as the military junta, backed by police, continues a brutal countrywide crackdown on pro-democracy protesters on Armed Forces Day, marking the deadliest day of protests since the February 1st military coup. In reaction to Saturday's killings, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres strongly condemned the killings. Myanmar Now news site reported late Saturday a nationwide death toll of at least 114. The U.S. Treasury Department has issued new sanctions imposing penalties on two companies with ties to Myanmar's military. As VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson tells us, U.S. lawmakers are calling for more sanctions against oil and gas companies to help prevent a civil war in Myanmar.
Demonstrators out again in the streets in Myanmar Thursday as the U.S. imposes new penalties against the military for the February 1st coup.
We impose sanctions on the two largest military-owned conglomerates, Myanmar Economic Corporation, MEC, and Myanmar Economic Holdings Limited, MEL, which will directly target the junta's revenue streams and personal fortunes and demonstrates that we will continue to impose costs until the junta removes its stranglehold on democracy.
Earlier this week, a 7-year-old girl shot when soldiers broke into her home in Mandalay. She was one of 286 people local activist groups estimate have been killed by the military since the coup. And the conflict is escalating, experts warn U.S. lawmakers.
There is a growing pressure on the opposition leadership to defend the people of Burma by taking up arms against the Burmese military. I understand the pull to go down this path, but I believe that such a path would lead to a disastrous outcome for the people of Burma, with untold numbers of civilians caught in a protracted, bloody civil war.
Possible options to avoid that civil war include targeted sanctions against oil and gas companies.
More must be done to deny the army its economic lifeline and to deny it the weapons of war.
And the situation on the ground cannot change, lawmakers said, without international cooperation.
There's almost no sanction that we're going to put in place that's going to change the Burmese military from the course they're on. But China has the capacity to do that, maybe India to a lesser extent, but China certainly does.
This week, the Myanmar military released 600 of the nearly 3,000 detained protesters. But de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi and other members of the civilian government are still detained, while journalists are repressed.
We are doing all we can to support independent journalism within Burma. The junta also continues to restrict access to the internet and online communication tools. Days after the coup, for instance, the military ordered internet service providers to block access to Facebook, Wikipedia, Twitter, and Instagram.
U.S. officials told lawmakers Thursday they had also redirected nearly $42 million in assistance to ensure American aid benefits the Burmese people instead of the military. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Much more on this developing story can be found by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook and at our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. World Bank and Asian Development Bank freeze funds to Myanmar to shun junta. Top military officers from a dozen countries strongly condemn Myanmar crackdown. Five killed, dozens injured in anti-Modi protests in Bangladesh. Afghan Taliban threatened to target U.S. and NATO troops if U.S. misses exit deadline. Expanded coverage of these stories and so much more can be found daily on our website at voanews.com and check out our Facebook page at VOA Asia. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The Biden administration says it is concerned about illegal fishing by Chinese vessels. China leads the illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing industry with a fleet of thousands around the world. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has the story.
Illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing, or IUUF, is a huge industry, and China is its biggest player, according to a ranking by the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime. Thousands of Chinese fishing boats, many subsidized by Beijing, fish in territorial waters of countries in Africa, Southeast Asia, and South America, depleting fish stocks and hurting local economies. Beijing denies the allegation.
China is the largest country. It provides the largest amount of subsidies for harmful fishing. By a large factor globally.
Last May, the Trump administration issued an executive order to combat IUUF and called on the international community to stand up against China's illegal fishing. The Biden administration is likely to continue the effort, telling VOA it considers combating IUUF a foreign policy priority.
It is an issue of overfishing in certain parts of the world. It is something our national security team is certainly watching and following closely.
As governments try to deter illegal fishing, skirmishes are common, including this incident late last year when the Ecuadorian Navy opened fire on the Chinese fishing vessels off the Galapagos Islands. Other governments, including Indonesia, have taken punitive measures, capturing and sinking Chinese fishing boats. The World Trade Organization failed to reach a deal to cut IUUF subsidies, such as those provided by Beijing, by the December 2020 deadline. Earlier this month, the new WTO Director General promised to push through the deal.
It's been 20 years, and 20 years is enough. That's my slogan. Now we have to get it done.
More than 13% of U.S. imports caught at sea in 2019 were derived from IUUF, according to a March report by the U.S. International Trade Commission.
That total amount of illegal fish coming into the U.S., well over $2 billion.
IUUF is also a human rights issue. Aid groups have documented examples of modern slavery in which workers are subjected to harsh conditions, low pay, and inadequate food and water for months or even years at sea. Patsy Whitaker-Swara, VOA News.
China announced tit-for-tat sanctions against two Americans, a Canadian, and a rights advocacy body in response to sanctions imposed last week by the two countries over Beijing's treatment of Uyghurs. Two members of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, Gail Manchin and Tony Perkins, Canadian Member of Parliament Michael Chong, and a Canadian Parliamentary Committee on Human Rights are prohibited from entering mainland China, Hong Kong, and Macau, according to the Chinese Foreign Ministry. At least 1 million Uyghurs and people from other mostly Muslim groups have been held in camps in northwestern Xinjiang, according to rights groups, who accuse authorities of forcibly sterilizing women and using forced labor. Happening now in Asia, two suspected suicide bombers blew themselves up outside a Catholic church in Indonesia during a Palm Sunday Mass, wounding at least 19 people. A police spokesperson told reporters the suicide bombers were intercepted by security at the gate to the church compound, and then the bomb exploded. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to start the week off with you on VOA Asia. In the global race against emerging variants of COVID-19, experts say it is imperative to reach herd immunity quickly by vaccinating as many people as possible. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo reports on the range of vaccines that are being used in the United States and elsewhere.
In the United States, three vaccines are being used: Pfizer-BioNTech, Moderna, and a recent addition from Johnson & Johnson. U.S. health experts say all have been rigorously vetted. There are some differences in delivery and some debate about their efficacy rates.
It gets very confusing because the J&J, which comes in at 66%, people go, well, that's 66%, whereas Pfizer and Moderna are each 95%. Well, shouldn't I go with Moderna or Pfizer? Then the answer is, when you're looking at your top line goal is block severe disease and death, they all, those three perform exceptionally well. So grab one.
The British-Swedish AstraZeneca vaccine developed with Oxford University researchers has been used worldwide. But recently, some European countries temporarily suspended use of the vaccine over fears of a link to blood clots. After a review last week by the World Health Organization's Vaccine Safety Panel, the vaccine was once again given the go-ahead.
We urge countries to continue using this important vaccine. The AstraZeneca vaccine is especially important because it accounts for more than 90% of the vaccines being distributed through COVAX.
COVAX is a WHO-led initiative to help ensure equitable distribution of the vaccines, especially to low-income countries. In general, there are several types of vaccines. Some are developed from older technologies, such as so-called inactivated or live weakened vaccines, while others, such as the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, rely on newer methods, such as the messenger RNA. Public health expert William J. Moss explains.
The messenger RNA and the adenovirus vector vaccines work a little differently. Instead of injecting the protein or the whole virus, basically we're injecting the genetic recipe so that our own cells make the spike protein, and then we develop an immune response to that.
There are a number of other vaccines that have been developed around the world, including Russia's Sputnik V and a number of others by China. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
NASA's Wright Brothers moment on Mars comes complete with a piece of Earth history on board. Plus, the space agency eyes its return to the moon, and a record-setting explorer sets another. VOA's Arash Arabasadi brings us the week in space.
NASA this week previewed the Martian launch of its Ingenuity helicopter. It rides aboard the agency's Mars rover Perseverance. NASA Planetary Science Division Director Lori Glaze says the future of Mars research may depend on Ingenuity.
Ingenuity will open new possibilities and will spark questions for the future about what we could accomplish with an aerial explorer. Could we image areas not visible from space or that a rover couldn't reach, like shadowed craters with seasonal water flow?
Glaze adds the aerial mission could shape how drones support future missions with humans. Also, having made the trip from Earth to Mars is a small piece of fabric from the plane the Wright brothers used in their historic first flight in 1903. Now, less than 120 years later from that historic flight, NASA will attempt launching a craft on another planet. Ingenuity's first flight is not expected before April 8th. On Earth, meanwhile, NASA completed an 8-minute hot fire test in Mississippi. The test of NASA's Space Launch System simulates a trip from the ground to orbit. The agency cut short a similar test in January, but with this week's success, NASA moves closer to another manned flight to the moon as part of the Artemis program. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us online on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We thank you for joining us today, and we thank our VOA Asia team, including Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.